the vivid memory of a day many, many years ago. But it's more than a memory. It's a testimony to reality. Listen as the angels of the church speak to us. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from the heavens above, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. And it filled the entire room, because wherever they were speaking in languages, vivid languages, each to his own language. And tongues of fire appeared among them, and a tongue revealed itself on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak another language as the Spirit gave them the ability to do so. Now, they were devout Jews from every nation, and they were living in Jerusalem, and at this sound, the crowd gathered around them and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in their own native language. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all those who are speaking Galileans? And now, how is it that we hear each one of us in our own language? Parthians, Medes, Edomites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Edom, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabs, all in their own languages, heard them speaking about God's deeds of power. All of them were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?'" Thanks be to God for the word of the Lord. Some water. That was an amazing day. Tongues of fire rested upon all those who had come to believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And all who saw them saw the results of the Holy Spirit, and these people were able to speak to them, no matter where they came from, every language. They're able to touch the spirits inside other folks, even if they had not been born in the same place. There was something going on, something that was uniting these folks. I want to tell you a story. I was born in Lockport, New York, on the Niagara Peninsula in New York State, about 20 miles northeast of Buffalo and 15 miles east of Niagara Falls. My dad was the first person in his family to go off to college, and he took a job as a mechanical engineer at the General Motors radiator plant that was in Lockport and still is there. He grew up with his mom and his brother and his sister on the family farm back east in Delaware County, New York. In the foothills of the Catskill Mountains, along the divide that separates the headwaters of the Delaware and the Susquehanna Rivers. My dad's brother, Kenny, ran the family farm, and his sister, Dorothy, married another dairy farmer. That was my Uncle Louie, and they had a farm higher up in the hills in the area. Now, my dad and my sister and mother and I spent our summers, our Thanksgiving weekends, our Christmases and spring break every year with Kenny, Dorothy, and the rest of my dad's family. In the last 2 years of high school, I spent that almost full time on the farm as my dad was studying in Boston. Kenny ran an enormous operation, milking hundreds of cows. Dorothy and Louie farmed quite a bit smaller, but they had a big house, and Dorothy's house became the place where everybody gathered on occasions like Thanksgiving and Christmas and whenever the family got together. Dorothy was a wonderful cook, and she was a great hostess, and she could cook anything. Well, almost anything. Her cookies were terrible. But there are always cookies on the kitchen table. And I learned to stay away from them. I'm haunted by that memory. My Uncle Kenny did not hesitate to draft me when I became old enough to do farm chores. And as I became older, I did everything that I possibly could and anything that he would set in front of me. I learned the dairy business from Kenny. I learned what it was like to get kicked by a 1,000-pound animal. I learned to avoid getting kicked after that. Best of all, I learned to drive long before the state of New York would have given me a driver's license. I drove farm trucks on the dirt roads that led from one field to another, and I drove jeeps and tractors on the farm to deliver the daily food out to the workers. By the time I was legally able to drive, I knew that area extremely well. It was something like I knew, they say, as well as the back of your hand. And then my uncle gave me the job of picking up the milk from the neighbors and taking it down to the creamery in Davenport Center. That job brought me into contact with the farmers and their families, and I got to know our neighbor Emery Haynes and his son Danny, who was just about my age. I shared coffee and donuts almost every day with them and with Jim Burmaster and his wife Henrietta, who later, after Jim passed away, moved up to Worcester and opened a bed and breakfast just off the thruway. Cy McClintock and I would talk sports while we loaded his milk, and the creamery manager, Gil, took close interest in me, my hopes and my dreams about college and the future and everything that I had planned. All these people, including my family, were church people, and they went to a little Presbyterian church. There were these churches at many of the crossroads of the dirt roads and hills that I learned to drive on, but most of them had closed. There was still one open at the corner down the hill from where Uncle Louie and Aunt Dorothy had their farm. My Aunt Dorothy took an active, as active as she could for a farm wife in the summer, seeing to it that the church got somebody to preach, at least in the summer, by talking to one of the seminaries to send a student down to maybe live in residence with one of the farm families and to preach on Sunday, as that was so important. And Dorothy got used to providing food for the church at the church picnics on Memorial Day and Labor Day, and was always on the food committee providing food for coffee hours, although her cookies were not very popular. And when the little church family could not sustain even summer services, she took the lead in making that church into a center for local cultural events. She didn't want to see it torn down, even if it had to be closed. The presbytery and she worked very hard to give it a new life, and they did. Dorothy was an authentic church lady. Now, she was church lady in the best sense. She had led a campaign to encourage the veterinary school at Cornell to admit women. And when they did, she fulfilled a pledge that she had made to employ senior students for their field work at her farm every year, year after year. Many of those vets would stay in contact with her their whole lives. She saw to it that her church took care of its members and reached out to take care of others. Having a little trouble here. This one doesn't want to go. My youth was highlighted by driving back and forth on those roads in Delaware County, learning every secret, making it my home, and my family gatherings at Dorothy's taught me a lot about family. Eventually, though, college, military service, seminary, and time-consuming responsibilities of marriage and family took me far away from the farms, and those highlights became memories, and the memories began to fade. So it was a sad shock when I received a call from Dorothy to let me know that Uncle Kenny had died. Though it had been a long time since I'd been there, I quickly arranged a trip from San Jose. I was to fly into Albany, New York, rent a car, and drive to Dorothy's. Air travel being what it is, naturally, every step of the way was later and later than it was scheduled to be. And by the time I got to Albany and took possession of the car and started to drive to the farm, I probably should have taken the highway as far as possible and stuck to the paved roads because it was getting really dark. But I was going home. I knew this place like the back of my hand. So I got off the thruway at Worcester and looked for the little turn for the turn into the hills and noticed that there was only one light on in Worcester that I could see, but it was in the window of a big house by the turn, and so I saw it fade in the background as I made that turn. And when I made that turn, the world changed. I mean, it changed. The familiar roads and landmarks were now very dark, and the trees seemed to reach out to the road, trying to snatch me up, and in minutes, I was absolutely lost. Although everything that I thought would be familiar had turned strange, I somehow managed to make progress, although it was very slow. I thought I knew everything, and then I missed the turn at Davenport Center and had to backtrack several miles. But I gained more confidence, and by the time I slowly drove through East Meredith toward Dorothy's, I was feeling some better. Eventually, I made it to and through the forests and fields that I remembered in my youth and crested the long hill up to Dorothy and Louie's farm. I noticed that it was ablaze with lights. When I turned up the road between the house and barn, I could see Uncle Louie waving to me in the doorway. And I was so surprised because it was in the middle of the night, the small hours of the day. He came by, slapped me on the back, grabbed one of my bags, and leading me toward the house, He said, "It's great to see you. I made some coffee and Dorothy put some cookies out for you." Inside it was warm and bright, and I sat down at the kitchen table, sipped the coffee, and pushed a cookie around the plate. Dorothy came into the room, and it was filled with hugs and kisses and love. She paused in her ministrations, and there was a momentary silence. I looked at her and said, I didn't mean to make you guys all wait up. And she said, "Oh, we didn't wait up. Henrietta Burmaster was reading in your parlor when you got off the thruway and turned into the hills. She gave us a call. Gil saw you miss the turn down to Davenport Center and called, and then he saw you come back. Cy McClintock was watching when you drove through East Meredith and called your Aunt Jean, who then called us to say you'd be up there in about 15 minutes. And we've only been up since then. The church, when it's at its best, when it recalls why God and Christ has called us together, when it recalls the day of Pentecost, when people were able to speak the good news of salvation to other folks that they hadn't been able to connect to before, when the church is like that, that's what I experienced that evening. But you already knew that, didn't you? Still, it's good to be reminded. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor John. And now we will ordain and install our